In the holy name of Jesus, amen. If you've ever been a child, then you've probably played the game before called Follow the Leader. You know how that goes, right? The rules are in the title. There are followers and there are leaders, and the followers follow the leader. It's a fun game if you're a young child, but it can also be fun if you're an adult and you have young children. But there are two ways in which this game can be ruined, where it doesn't go the way that it's supposed to, and that's either because you've got a bad leader or you've got a bad follower. You can have a bad leader if the leader tries to do things that make it hard for the followers to follow. So I'm thinking about like on the playground. If the leader takes off and runs far away, and if he is particularly fast and you can't keep up, well, the game's ruined. Or maybe the leader tries to do difficult things, like climbing up the slide backwards, or walking on top of the monkey bars. If you can't do that, well then, the game is ruined for you. The other way is if you've got bad followers, okay? And this is probably the worst of the worst, in my opinion at least. When you've got a follower who thinks that they would be a better leader than the leader themselves. So maybe the leader claps his hand once, and everybody else claps once, but one of the followers is going to erupt into applause and thereby distract everybody from the leader. Or maybe the leader shouts, and this follower shouts louder and longer. Okay, come on, you're not the leader, man. Or maybe the leader is leading everybody in a line, and this guy thinks he'd do a better job, so he tries to run to the front of the line and take over that position. This is how the game gets ruined. There's no place for that kind of stuff in a game of Follow the Leader. So come with me to our Bible story for today, the one from John chapter 13, and you will find a disciple named Peter who doesn't really want to follow his leader. The story goes that the disciples are at the meal with Jesus, and Jesus comes to them. Nobody's feet are washed at this point, and Jesus takes the position of a servant. He totally debases himself, does something that no self-respecting leader would ever do, and he washes the disciples' feet. When he gets to Peter, it's too much for Peter. He can't take it. This isn't the kind of leader that he signed up for. He's not willing to follow his lead and let this happen. He says, "No, you'll never wash my feet, Jesus." And then when Jesus insists, "Oh, I really must," Peter says, "Fine, if you must, then do it better, Jesus. Here's how you can do it better. Don't just wash my feet, wash all of me." Peter has a difficult time following Jesus. I think it has something to do with what Jesus says in verse 7 of our text for today. He says, "Peter, right now you don't understand what I'm doing, but later you will understand." Peter's problem is that he hasn't seen death and resurrection yet. He hasn't gotten to the other side of this story, this Jesus' story yet. And so how could we ever expect him to understand what's going on or to understand who Jesus is and what he's come to do? Peter has a history of not getting it. This is kind of what he does in the Bible. Earlier in the story of Jesus, Jesus tells his disciples, "Guys, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise from the dead." And Peter takes Jesus aside and is like, "I've got a better idea, Jesus. How about you never die? How about you live forever? That would be a better way of leading us, wouldn't it?" But Jesus has to rebuke Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he says. Or in other words, "I'm the leader here, Peter, not you." After that, Peter gets the privilege of going up on the Mountain of Transfiguration with Jesus. He sees him in glory, white, dazzling like the sun. It's a great time. He loves being there and he wants to stay. "Let's not go down, Jesus. I'll build a little booth, a little structure that we can just kind of camp out in here. Let's stay." But Peter, there is a need to go down the mountain because death is at the bottom of the mountain. That's a part of the plan. And so God interrupts Peter a voice from the top of the mountain, from the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." In other words, follow him. But it'll still take death and resurrection for Peter to ever get it. Fast forward past the whole foot washing incident, and later that night, we get the Garden of Gethsemane. A mob comes to arrest Jesus, to take him away as a part of the plan. But Peter doesn't see it that way. He wants to defend his master, so he draws his sword to protect him. Jesus is like, "Come on, man, we talked about this. We talked about this. I must die and I must rise. Put your sword away. Do you still not get it?" Apparently not. Because as the mob takes Jesus away to the high priest's house, Peter follows and gets as far as the courtyard before somebody recognizes him and says, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" To which Peter denies it 3 times to save his own skin. Man, guys, it is hard to follow the leader when the leader goes to death. It's hard to follow that. Brothers and sisters, I feel like in our lives, all too often they look like the life of Peter. It's a life of not following the leader, right? Either because we think it's dangerous where he's leading us, or we would rather go our own way. We have our struggles, we have our trials, things that sometimes we can't understand, just like Peter. Suffering, pain, whatever it might be. And sometimes maybe we think that Jesus is leading us a little closer to death than we might like. It can be something personal for us, right? The personal struggles of daily life that just sort of come up, maybe even out of nowhere. Personal pain, personal loss, personal death. Death nearby. Or it can even be on a national level or an international level, as we've seen with this pandemic. I don't know if there's anything in recent memory that has brought to the forefront of all of our minds our own mortality, or that has exposed the utter fragile nature of what we consider to be normal, or which has exposed the fragile nature of the economy, which has isolated us by the billions. I don't know if anything has done it for so long, and we're still in this for a while. So when these things happen to us, when we face these sufferings, when it seems like we're getting closer and closer to death, what's the reaction? Do we continue and follow Jesus where he leads, wherever that may be, fearless and confident in him? Or do we maybe take matters into our own hand, into our own leadership? When you see death and suffering, what do? Do you look away because it's ugly? Do you try to hide? Do you try to hunker down? Because who knows if you'll even be able to weather this storm? You got to look out for yourself, right? And the people who you love. Are you trusting in Jesus, or are you trusting in yourself? Or maybe it's the other side of the coin, right? In the midst of panic and uncertainty, it's time to live large. Because who knows what we'll have tomorrow? Make the best of what you got. You only live once, right? Do we follow Jesus, or is it time to take matters into our own hands? When the miracles are happening, it's easy to follow, right? It was for Peter. The Mountain of Transfiguration. The miracles that he must have seen, feeding of 5,000, healing of the sick. But when Jesus leads Peter closer to death, that's when it gets a little dicey. That's when Peter is a little more hesitant, if not defiant. The same thing for us. Jesus often blesses us with peace, even prosperity and blessing, normal life. But what about when he leads us through pandemic and pain and suffering? Maybe it's time to take it into our own hands. Away from Jesus' leadership, instead of straining toward that goal, straining toward what lies ahead, as Paul talks about, we go off on some tangent, our own way. And what was it that Paul was straining toward anyways? Just as a side note, this is important. In a way, it was death. it was death. I don't want to mislead you guys. I don't want you to have the wrong impression here. I need to be clear. Our Lord Jesus Christ, throughout this life, is leading us ever closer to the cross. To death, even, you could say. After all, that's what we say about those who are baptized, right? We're baptized into our Lord Jesus' death. It's the first step in most people's faith journey. Baptism, and we say, you've been baptized into Christ's death. Peter didn't get it. Peter didn't understand where his master, where his leader was leading him. Do you? Or maybe the better question is, do you know what side of the story you're on? What side of the story are you on? Peter was in the middle of the story. Right, seeing it all happen, unfolding right in front of him. He didn't have the benefit that we did of knowing who Jesus is, the true Son of God, come to take away all sin and death forever. He didn't have the words of Scripture that we are blessed to be given. And so he made some mistakes. And so he didn't understand. He couldn't understand Jesus' leadership, so he challenged it. He couldn't understand why this man who's supposed to be the Christ goes to suffer and to die, and how he leads his disciples along that same path. This doesn't seem right. He doesn't get it. That is, until he gets to the other side of the story where everything becomes clear. And that other side of the story is resurrection. For in the resurrection of Jesus, Peter sees that he's not being led to death, but through death. The end goal for Jesus in Peter is not death. The end goal is resurrection. And so death becomes this portal, just this gateway, a waypoint between Peter and everlasting life. So Peter doesn't have to be afraid of anything that will come. He doesn't have to be afraid of death or suffering in Jesus' name or anything that he comes near to in his walk with Jesus. Because Jesus has dealt with it. He has moved it out of the way. That's the kind of leader that he is. He's not the kind of leader that makes it difficult for his disciples to follow, but he's a type of leader that when he comes up to some sort of obstacle, he moves it out of the way so that he can lead his disciples right on through and on to the real goal, everlasting life. Peter gets it in the end. After struggling to fight against Jesus, he finally understands. He sees that Jesus' resurrection is his resurrection too. And so he goes out and he spreads the gospel as far as he can, right? You've heard of Pentecost, right? Where Jesus gets up and speaks the word of God boldly. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, thousands come to believe. Peter continues to spread the gospel even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of threats, in the midst of imprisonments even. Because he knows that his Lord Jesus Christ leads him through death and to resurrection, no matter what. Peter suffered much for Jesus, and in the end, he even died a martyr's death because of Jesus. And I want to tell you about that story. I want to stop here and look at the story of Peter's death for a moment. I want to tell it to you. It's the legend of Peter along the Appian Way. You might not have ever heard this story before. It's because it's not in your Bible. It's an ancient story. It's a legend that the church has. It's old, not as old as the Bible. And you might be wondering, is it a true story? Did it really happen? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if it really happened or not. But what I can tell you is that this story, the character in it, Peter, as he is depicted, is a person who has been transformed by the knowledge of resurrection, in pure hope of life in Christ. It's a total transformation, and it's a goal for us, maybe, or a model, or an inspiration. So take it for what it's worth, as the life of one who knows, who understands. So the story goes like this. Peter's old. He's been doing ministry for a long time. He's doing it in Rome. And everything's going great. People are coming to the faith on a daily basis. And the authorities can't stand it. Because this Christianity is messing with the very fabric of Roman society, with their culture and everything. So they've got to do something about it. So they plot to kill Peter. That's their plot. But Christians are everywhere by this point. And they find out about this plot. In fact, it's the wife of one of these governing authorities who figures it all out and warns the Christians. And the brothers in Christ try to get Peter to leave, right? Run away because you're in danger here. Peter doesn't want to because, I mean, he'd feel like he'd be forsaking his call to be missionary there. But in the end, they prevail on him because they say, you're more value alive than dead, man. Come on, go out. More people need to hear the gospel. We'll be fine. So Peter goes to safety, and he leaves Rome. And as he's leaving Rome, who else does he see coming in other than the risen Lord Jesus Christ? He sees Jesus going into Rome. And as they meet, their exchange basically goes like this. Jesus says, follow me. Follow the leader. And Peter sees Jesus ascend into heaven. And then he kind of realizes Jesus is talking about going back into Rome, which may very well result in my death. And it's at this point where you're like, man, that's a bummer. That's a real bummer. But that's not how Peter sees it. Because the story continues. Peter does a 180, marches right back into Rome. Not with tears and sighs, but with songs of praises and rejoicing. What a turnaround. What a transformation. This man who followed Jesus around in his earthly ministry, those 3 years of Jesus' earthly ministry before he died and rose, Peter followed him kicking and screaming. And now he's gently led by his Savior to death, through death, without so much as a defiant word, but instead with songs of praises and joy. Because he knows. He knows that this Jesus leads his disciples through death and into life. He gets it. He's on the right side of the story. So the question, I guess, that we have to come back to is, what side of the story are you on? Brothers and sisters, it might seem like on this night of all nights, we have not yet seen resurrection. It's Maundy Thursday. We're in the middle of reliving the story of Jesus' passion, and tonight is the night where he's betrayed. Tomorrow's the day where he dies. But we're also reliving a story of our own in the midst of this, right? A story that'll probably be written down in the history books for years to come. Story of coronavirus, 2020. 2019 and 2020, I suppose. And I don't know if we see the end. Do we yet? Certainly there's more death to come. Certainly there's more pain to come, more suffering. It might not seem any end is in sight. And yet, because of Jesus, because of what we've seen in his resurrection, we have already seen the end in a way. His death and resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago has paved the way for us. And now we know that those who believe in him have everlasting life. That's what he says. Brothers and sisters, let me put it to you one more time. Bear with me. This will be profitable for you, even if I repeat myself. This is good for those who are strong in their faith, and it's good for those who are still doubting. There was a man named Jesus, and he said this about himself. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he die, yet shall he live. That's what he said. And I hope this verse gives you personal comfort in the midst of your sufferings, in the midst of whatever death you are facing right now. Because that's the truth of resurrection for you. But look at it this way for a second. in light of the story that we're celebrating this weekend. Jesus called himself the life, and so he goes to die. Why? It's because your leader doesn't ask you to go anywhere that he doesn't go himself. It's because your leader has gone to death to take it away, to remove the obstacle. That's the kind of leader that he is for you. He's showing you how it's done. So now you can move through it unafraid, no matter what. The life died. But he's not just called the life, he's called the resurrection as well. And it's just so fitting because he's the first one to rise, the first one to rise and never die again. And he holds that promise for all who believe that they too will rise. Guys, in the midst of this changing world, in the midst of the suffering and the pain that we're going through, we've got to keep this central, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Peter couldn't understand anything without it. And how could we understand anything? How could we understand our own suffering or the suffering of those we love, the things that we go through, without Jesus' death and resurrection? We can't. So praise be to him that he has given us this view, that he has brought us to the other side of the story. So now we can press on. We can strain forward to what lies ahead, knowing that if this present suffering, whatever it is that we happen to be going through right now, if this suffering gets us and is the end of us, or if the next thing gets us, well, it doesn't really matter. Because Jesus has led us through death and into life. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. So come what may, we follow our leader. Amen.